Wake up, Shinigami. You're chugging bleach with the only podcast that unlocked your bunkai.
Welcome to Chugging Bleach, the premier location to hear about decade-plus-old bleach.
Ooh.
I'm your host, Bob Video Games, and with me, as usual, we have Dan Video Games.
Thank you for having me.
KZ Excellent from KZExcellent.com.
My shoulder pad has a mouth.
You should get that looked at. And of course, Mr. Field from Mr. Field Wild Ride.
I'm going to survive things I should in no way survive.
I wonder what that could be about.
It could be like multiple things.
It's about setting goals.
I have a goal to get out of here.
In this episode, we watched episodes 89 through 93.
Now, some of you might be sitting there going, is that five episodes? And I'm here to tell you it is.
Whoa. Dan, can you tell me about how that's five episodes long?
Okay, so check this out. Many people wouldn't count the first episode as an episode. They would subtract these numbers and say, that is definitely not five. It is, in fact, five.
Okay, good to hear. All right, feel. Can you tell them how they could hear about these five episodes early?
Well, if you'd like to hear about these five episodes early, you can go to our Patreon at patreon.com/GBpodcast. For as little as $5 a month, you get access to many benefits, such as early access to this and Mondo Cool, our two anime review podcasts, extended armchair dev pitches and gamer premonitions when those shows' formats force us to leave ideas on the cutting room floor, and a Patreon-exclusive show one per month where you get to vote on what good or bad thing we have to watch and then talk about. That's patreon.com/GBpodcast, and if you don't have any money, you can always help us by telling your friends. And if you don't have any friends, you can join an underground fighting ring and form camaraderie with the other combatants, because nothing builds camaraderie like breaking someone's jaw. That's patreon.com/GBpodcast.
Thank you, Phil.
And remember, it's pronounced Bonzo, not Bonzo.
All right, Phil. Oh, let's hear about what happened in these five episodes of Bleach.
Okay.
Let's fucking go, baby.
Episode 89. We start with a minute of recap of episode 88.
Cool.
I would like to note my first note for this episode is just Urahara's face is wrong.
I don't remember, but I'm sure it's right.
Yeah, it's same.
Yeah.
We're back at Ishida and Nemu staring at each other at the waterfall. we get a flashback that serves no purpose but to be like, remember that time he gave her medicine?
Yeah, pretty sick.
Yep.
They stare at each other motionlessly for like 30 seconds.
Okay.
then she just starts beating his ass.
Yeah, that was strange.
Like, she just starts kicking him in the stomach, and I'm like, this seems out of character. I don't see people like you this much, so this must be out of character for you. They don't resolve her kicking the shit out of him. They just hard cut back to Ichigo's party at the Bount Cave. Kurodo, which is the sex pest Bount detector, says the cave is structured to warp a person's ability to sense spiritual pressure.
Yeah,
but the whole point is that you can't sense the bounce anyway.
Yeah. This set of episodes is really when they completely lost track of their own plot.
Gonna be honest, I forgot that you couldn't sense bounce spiritual pressure. I'm getting upset.
Yeah, that's why Bob and I were having a stroke when they said that. I'm like,
like, good. Now that's good for when people go to your cave and we can't find them.
Yeah, Rinji's like, don't worry, guys, everybody who fought was lieutenant, so they must have owned everyone. So we as an audience instantly know they all lost.
Yeah.
Even if you hadn't seen
the last episode. This is the writer's cave.
the insecure glasses bound, whose name is Ugaki, says the next round is beginning and sends the eyeballs. And then we get another fucking flashback to the last fucking episode. Gotta save that time. Gotta fucking use all the whole animal.
It's been a whole month, man.
Rukia suggests that the bounce hideout is the ruin of an ancient civilization.
Yes.
I love these episodes.
Here in Japan, we found this ancient civilization.
The ancient Mesopotamians settled in this Japanese cave.
Uh The eyeballs attack from the ceiling and everybody starts chopping them up. Rinji does the whole fucking howls, Zabimaru thing and just fucking spins around and kills a bunch of them. They're just owning the shit out of these eyeballs. Then a giant fist just comes out of the ground and punches Rukia. And it looks, it looks really goofy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think it was supposed to look like, that way.
And Renji's like, oh shit, I got a simp, and then jumps to save her, but ends up getting slammed into the wall by her.
It's really good, because I'm like, oh, Renji's gonna jump up, brace her, and then come down with, no, he's just gonna get pinned in between her and the ceiling!
Like, it feels like, if anything, she got hurt more during this.
he absorbed the blow.
Oh,
so
okay.
he's just in worse condition.
Yeah, that was a good plan, right?
And then he fell on top of her as they slammed into the crowd.
Chad gets a sudden burst of confidence and like starts doing big Hadouken punches on the eyeballs.
Yeah, his face is terrible all throughout this episode. He starts transitioning into Dorito face Bad Touch Senpai.
God.
His chin is just wrong.
A little bit.
I think they also completely forget about him after this scene.
They do.
No, it's really funny because he does the energy punch. They cut to someone reacting, and they go, good job, Chad, and they cut, and they just show his arms completely normal again.
Yeah.
He just turns it off like a light switch.
He turned it off instantly.
Yeah.
He's trying to preserve his fucking MP.
The giant hand that punched Rukia turns into a giant knife?
Yeah.
Yes.
And starts trying to chop Ichigo, who starts like sword fighting with it, and it looks mad goofy.
Oh god, does it ever.
Yes.
They even put a camera shake on him, which they didn't put on Renji, I don't think. Just to help cover how bad this animation of rapidly slashing looked.
Then the spotlights show up and make a big shadow behind Ichigo, and another hand comes out and becomes a buzzsaw.
It's got weird powers for now.
Orihime blocks the buzzsaw from cutting Ichigo and like does her whole I reject thing and destroys some of the floodlight so the buzzsaw goes away and they don't immediately realize this is the doll's weakness, because that's the running theme of these arcs, is that nobody can
notice anything.
So Ugaki is like, I'm going to use this card to make the knife turn into ropes and tie up Ichigo and Orihime. And then we cut to like the mod souls doing their shtick where they react and scream and run around.
Yeah.
Yep. Because it's a great show.
And it's like, oh no, they're getting dragged in the shadow. Oh no. And then we hard cut back to Ishida. Nimmu hit him so hard that it looks like one of his shoes came off, but I'm pretty sure it's just a coloring error.
I miss this.
Then she just starts shaming him. She's like, wow, you really are a weak little cuck now. I didn't believe it, but you're really pathetic. Then she just turns into Virgil. Like, do you want power? Before he can answer, we cut back to the RPG cave. And Rangiku shows up and saves Ichigo and Orihime. Her Soul Reaper Hakama is damaged just enough for her boobs to be even more visible.
Yes.
Yeah. It's totally intentional here.
I don't think that was an attack that did that. I think that her boobs are winning the battle.
Yes.
Then in a moment that I was so grateful for, they go, oh, the floodlights make shadows for the thing to come out of. We should destroy everything that can make a shadow. They don't quite make it all the way though, because they're like, we need to destroy all the stalactites and stalagmites. And I'm like, guys, like, you still will have a shadow. You should focus on the things making light.
And I was evenly split on, will this anime acknowledge that? Because the writing is already so stupid this episode. And it's by no measure the lowest point of these five episodes. But I was like, are they going to acknowledge that? Or are they just going to be like, well, people don't count?
God, that'd be bad.
Ichigo looks at the runtime for the episode and is like, we got to get moving, and just deletes the encounter with Getsuga Tensho. And then we cut to Ugaki in his little nerd cave, and he just starts seething and coping and saying misogynistic slurs.
Yeah, he was going on like a verified Twitter user rant.
Yeah, I also just wrote bounce seething. It was really strong.
Yes.
I don't think that they respect my blue check mark enough.
and then we get another one of those insecure moments where he's like, I'll show them next time. I'll totally own them.
Yeah.
Yeah, he literally starts going on the rant of, but they don't understand. I was oppressed.
that's a little bit later, but we'll fucking get to it. Then they come up with the insanely stupid contrivance that Rukia's soul was damaged from her encounter with the crackhead bount and his flower stand.
Yeah.
So she is now useless, even more useless.
She needs to sit here.
No longer can she use her hato to miss. Now she must lay down.
Ugaki gives his stupid fucking Twitter verified user rant about how humans were too mean to the bount, the people who eat souls. Also, we have at no point in none of these flashbacks did we see this beyond a guy trying to rob Richard Epcar, which didn't seem racially motivated. It just seemed like they wanted money.
But, yeah, don't worry about it.
Hey, this is really sad, okay? Their legacy of being immortal is ruined.
Mm-hmm.
Renji gets a W by saying, that's fucking stupid and you're fucking stupid.
You know it's bad when Renji's owning you.
Yes! Ichigo immediately benches all of the women.
Yes!
Yes, he does!
Like, you all need to stay here. Me and Renji will continue.
Chad, you now count as a woman because you have tits as big as them. So you also stay here and protect them while Orihime is white mage and heals Rangiku and Rukia.
But for some reason, this will take her time, unlike every other time she's done it, where she could get it done within minutes.
Kone is like, don't worry, Ichigo, I'll stay and take care of the boobs. And Ichigo's like, okay, and just leaves.
Ichigo seems surprisingly like, yeah, man, you got this. Like, what?
It's more like he doesn't even want to bother, and Kone even seems offended that he didn't bother. He's like, I'm doing the bit. You have to react to the bit. Please respect my bit. It's the only one I have. They just start going through the cave and beating the shit out of all the scenery.
Yeah.
Then they get stunned by the eyes casting light on them to make the shadows, even though they've already seen this.
Yeah, they're like, what are those?
So the fucking blade things come out of the shadows to kill them again. And Shuhei and Izuru show up to block the attack. Now that four men are together, they can handle things.
Yeah, my big takeaway is that Kira is doing the best in this arc of any of the protagonists.
Yeah, both of Gazelle's, which is the Ugaki's stand, his stupid big doll that makes fucking arms come out. Both of them get made too fat to move. So they win the fight, but then a cave-in happens for no reason and separates Shuhei and Izuru from Ichigo and Renji.
Yeah, so we just split up again.
We're doing like a weird version of the end of the first season of Sailor Moon.
Okay.
Where sequentially each member of the team has to stay behind to fight somebody. Except in this case, there's nobody to fight.
Yep.
It's just
yeah, this is really unfortunate because Shuhei definitely was going to use his Shikai, and we aren't going to be able to see it now.
Look, guys, these benches aren't going to warm themselves.
we cut the rocks so they're now shaped like a chair.
Look, we can't kill a single other bount. I'm sorry. It can't happen.
We go back to Nimmu and Ishida. She's like, here's a Quincy battle artifact that'll let you use your powers again. That's the end of the episode.
Whoa.
Illustrated Guide to Soul Reapers.
Golden.
The Female Soul Reaper Association is called to order again. Mayuri is there because Nimmu is out on a job. Nanao, which is Captain Kyoraku's guy, is just like, get the fuck out. And that's the whole joke.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is Mayuri. I would also go get the fuck out.
Yeah, there's no situation where he shows up to a meeting and you don't get upset.
I know. He kept going, and I was just audibly confused by the end.
It's not like when Byakuya showed up and just shoved an entire meat bun into her mouth. It's just like, no, there's no redeeming qualities to this guy. Episode 90.
Golden.
There is a 90-second recap of the previous episode.
That's good. I forgot.
There's an important thing in the intro, though.
Oh, yes, there is.
Dating Sim is Byakuya.
Yes, I wrote it as breedable Byakuya because we went, that's Byakuya, Dan. And you're like, no.
I was like, this is ridiculous.
Ichigo and Renji make it to another room that looks identical to every other room. Yumichika slash Peacock guy is Family Guy posing on the ground, injured. The eyeballs come back, and Ugaki, like, speaks over the loudspeaker and is like, I'm really insecure. This time I'm going to show you my real power. He makes a really big shadow, and the whole doll comes out, and it looks like a fucking Yu-Gi-Oh! Monster.
I was trying to place it. Yeah, that works.
I was like, it's an even worse version of the golem from Curse of Darkness. Like, if it just had no design attributes at all.
I was like, it's like a dripless stand.
Well, obviously, everything, fucking all the dolls are.
I know, but it was even more severe. Like, imagine there was no design on it at all.
It's like, all right, it's a black silhouette with red veins around it.
It's kind of... It reminds me of that thing I saw earlier today where it was like, yeah, someone in Tomb Raider modeled this tripod but didn't know tripods have things to hold the camera on it. So it's just legs going into the underside of a camera like a child would draw. And I'm like, yeah, this is how a child would draw a stand, sure.
it just immediately picks up Yumichika and throws him at the wall, and Renji has to go save him. He's like, I'm not ashamed of losing a fight, but I'm ashamed for surviving. You should die when you lose. Never mind the fact that both of my superiors in my squad lost to Ichigo and did not die.
Yep.
This is my thing now, though. Accept it.
I also lost to Ganju.
Oh, God, he did. Jesus, what a fucking L.
Yeah, this is a really weird character trait to give this man.
Yes, it is.
Rinji's like, Ichigo, I'll fight this guy by myself. I got trained by Urahara, which explains why I've been so incompetent this arc.
Yes, actually.
He literally is like, yeah, Urahara told me to rely on people. That's wrong and dumb, apparently.
He told me about the attack limits.
He gives him a really insane speech about how he had been relying too much on other people, and that's why he kept getting owned. And I'm like, you didn't fight with allies at all this ever.
Yeah, but the lesson was, he's like, I kept relying on people by standing and not running away, thinking someone would come and that I could rely on. So it was even worse.
So he's like, Yumichika's insane philosophy is right. I have to fight solo, and if I lose, I should die. and then we get more. And as he says this, we get more reused footage of him like getting owned by the mosquitoes. Ichigo's like, Renji, that's fucking stupid, and Renji just keeps yelling at him until Ichigo's like, fucking whatever, have fun, do it, I don't care. So Renji's like, I'm just gonna go balls out from the start Bankai, and summons the big snake, Bone Snake.
And I'm sitting here surprised the world didn't end.
Yeah, it's like, it's almost like that was a really stupid contrivance. So his Bankai starts, like, wrestling with the doll, and it's indistinguishable from watching two monsters battle in Yu-Gi-Oh! Like, it looks the exact same.
Yes, it does.
Renji even explains his attack the same way a Yu-Gi-Oh! Character explains their combo. Ugaki's like... Ugaki immediately is like, oh god, I'm gonna get the shit honed out of me, time to use a sneak attack, and just immediately cuts Renji's throat. And just starts owning the shit out of him and bouncing around the room like a pinball. And he's like rolling across the ground for seconds and seconds.
Okay, so this whole time I'm like, why did I write boo in my notes? It must have been when he immediately jobbed at this moment.
Renji recovers, but doesn't immediately start cutting the floodlights that are letting him get owned. He's like, Peacock is like, Renji used to be a member of Squad 11, so he's also fucking stupid.
Good to know.
Karya calls Ugaki on the phone and is like, stop fucking around and just win. And that apparently tipped the scales against Ugaki because Renji is just immediately nukes the shit out of his doll with Bankai.
Yeah.
He's like, here's all of my neck shots.
With the attack that he does he do that? Was his Bankai in the first arc?
I don't remember.
Because that doesn't look like anything I've ever seen him do.
Yeah, I don't think he ever does. They're like, okay, so this thing's made out of pieces. What if we throw all the pieces at him in this filler arc?
Well, the pieces grew knives, and that was weird.
The pieces turned into the Swords of Revealing Light from Yu-Gi-Oh, which is and we get another like abstract Yu-Gi-Oh scene of the monsters just hitting each other with like no background or context. Anyway, Gasell the doll gets owned to shit, and the Castlevania music starts again as Ugaki's nerd office starts to like melt, and they can see that he was hiding in the wall of this room.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what this reminded me of, because it was so, like, it's like fake Wizard of Oz.
It might be
the Futurama version of Wizard of Oz that I'm thinking of.
The idea that he put himself in what seems to be a hole with no exit, and then materialized a wall in front of it seems to be the dumbest plan their super genius Bout could have.
I assumed this room was, like, connected to the Pillar Men Bout meeting room. Like, he just walked one room away to do this. But no, he had to embed himself in the rock wall of a random room.
Yeah, it makes me think of the when they found Saddam Hussein in South Park.
The vibes I was getting off of this is just like, it's somewhere between Wizard of Oz and Otacon pissing himself in the locker.
Yeah. Also that.
I was just like, Phil, I'm like, clearly he is one room away from every other Bout. He is not in this area with these guys.
Well, they find out in a second here that he pretty much is.
Well, God damn it!
Yeah, not only that, it's like Karya's doing the Zoom call through the fucking eyeball.
45 feet away.
Karya's like, well, thanks for the work, lol Mao, and then just turns off the call.
And that was the moment I was getting so excited because I'm like, oh fuck, is this dude gonna die?
And he does. The doll picks him up and crushes him and then explodes.
Yeah, for seemingly no reason, his own doll kills him because, oh god, our heroes can't kill one of these Bounts. They're human. Which is so dumb.
This guy took too much damage, so his doll's crazy.
Yumi Chika is like, Ichigo, you go on ahead, I'll stay and help Rinji. And so Ichigo just leaves.
Yeah, because now Yumi Chika's fine and can help someone.
Ichigo runs down a hallway and gets to the final room where all the Bounts are waiting. Karya says some stupid shit that doesn't matter, and Ichigo also says some stupid shit that doesn't matter back to them. Like, I didn't write down what it was because it had no meaning.
Yes.
It was nothing. Ichigo's like, could you be working with Aizen? And Karya's like, I don't know who that is. Time to fight.
This just gave me the thought of, no, their plan is going to Hokumondo. They open the door and immediately get vaporized by Aizen. That would be the best ending to an arc ever.
It would.
Dude, nothing, nothing would be more satisfying than Ishimaru showing up and just one-shotting all of them.
It was really crazy when Frieza came to Earth as Metal Frieza, and then Cell just ripped him in half.
Yeah,
barehanded.
No, that would be like if Mecha Frieza had landed during the Garlic Jr. arc, and it's been like, I don't care if you're immortal, I'm going to vaporize you.
Yeah. Garlic Jr. escapes the dead zone again.
Koga says a bunch of shit in German and makes a gate from Minecraft to the Nether.
This was the funniest thing in the entire Bleach anime so far. Richard Epcar doing German.
I was like, holy shit, this man is murdering the German language. I've never heard someone speak German this poorly. I have to see if the Japanese voice actor is murdering it. Changes over. No, that is way closer to German. Oh no.
I started crying.
It was dire. Yeah.
I was like, this is delicious.
Koga has this inner monologue where he's like, I wish I had killed Ichigo in that last set of episodes instead of leaving for no reason.
Yeah, it's a weird time to have a change of heart. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So Ichigo and Karya start to fight. Karya blocks Ichigo with his arm and then hits him, and Ichigo goes rolling along the ground for 30 solid seconds.
Yeah, he does.
They just keep doing cuts of him fucking rolling along the ground until he hits a wall.
Yeah, they really should have had the Gundam Wing thing happen where the music just starts when he stands up.
Ichigo can't understand how Karya is so strong, but he had a breakdown about how Karya was so strong earlier, so what the fuck's the deal here?
Yeah, I don't know.
What the hell is the deal here thing reminds me. When they were standing on the stairs, the dialogue in this anime literally became the characters themselves speculating on how any of the shit that has occurred in this arc makes any sense.
Yep.
It's like, how has it gotten this bad?
Hell yeah.
I've never seen someone do post hoc retroactive revisions of what they wrote so poorly in my life.
This is built different.
And it continues to dig into that as this goes in a way that lose it.
Yes, it does. Ichigo tries to stab him, but Karya counters it and hits him with the Android 20 Yamcha impaling arm thrust.
I love that you call it countering it, because as I recall it, Ichigo hits his elbow with a sword and he just looks. He's like, yeah, that didn't do anything.
He's so surprised by it. It's like, you fought Kenpachi. This happened to you. Please stop.
Ichigo's just getting fucking worked here. Like, Kari is just kicking the shit out of him.
Well, he did drink that monster energy drink, so he's really
true. And then he
vaped.
He's like, I wanted to test my power, Ichigo. Stop being a cuck and use your fucking Bankai. Ichigo responds by bleeding all over everything, and Kari just starts basically laughing in his face. And is like, well, you're about to die, so I guess it's fine if I tell you my real plan. We were never going to Hueco Mundo. We were going to Soul Society. The Bounce were created in Soul Society, and we want revenge. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. The episode's over.
And I was like, oh my god. Ichigo, just let him go. It's no longer your problem.
Illustrated Guide to Soul Reapers.
Whoosh. Golden.
Whoosh.
Oh, whoosh.
Ganju's hanging out at work, and he's like, man, I don't even fucking remember why I came here. He's looking at a bikini magazine. His boss catches him and I guess is gay. I guess the joke is that his boss is gay.
I guess.
Because the joke is like, is that what you like? And then he runs away crying.
Yeah.
And that's the joke.
I would like to pretend the joke is they named a porn magazine Up Up Boy, which is hilarious.
They did.
It is very funny. Episode 91. We don't get a huge recap this time, thank fucking god.
Yeah, it seemed weird that we just didn't get any.
We open on Orihime and her patients. They talk about how they can feel Ichigo fighting, even though I thought this fucking cave was supposed to prevent that.
Yeah, right? I guess not anymore. That was only for one line.
You know, the funny thing is, every time they have a line like that, I check the subtitles to make sure it's not a dub invention.
Now,
right.
Yeah, I have both up, and I note when it's, like, wildly different.
Now yeah, that happens once in the set.
So, did they say when they are outside the cave, so people outside can't feel things inside, so when you're inside, you can feel them?
They were inside the cave.
God fucking damn this show!
Yeah, there's... Ruki is like, I have to go help, even though I'm useless, even not injured, and right now I am. Ishida walks into the scene, but we're not supposed to know it's him yet. Dun dun.
It could be anybody.
Dun dun.
Karya explains to Ichigo that the Bounce were created in Soul Society as an experiment. A big explosion mutated some souls in small quantities, and these were the Bounce. Soul Society made contacts with the Bounce and gave them this stupid underground city to live in. There used to be a lot of Bounce, but Soul Society tried to purge them. Man, they do genocide a lot.
This just seems like inconvenient way to do genocide, though. Like, we're gonna move you to the city, let you live here for like decades, and then try and kill all of you. It's like,
what?
They imply that like later on they decided it was easier to just kill them.
Yeah, it's also that they don't want to even say the name of who did it, like in Soul Society.
Yes, he did it.
Ichigo gets real mad and is like, that doesn't give you an excuse to kill innocent people, and does it gets a Gaten show, but Karya just backhands it away.
Yeah.
And then like karate chops Ichigo in a way that leaves a huge gash in his chest.
Yeah.
Ichigo gets the shit beaten out of him by Karya for a while. They reuse a shot, I am pretty sure.
Yeah.
From the last episode of him rolling. Karya's like, we Bounce can get infinitely stronger, so Soul Society is screwed. And I'm like, let's drop Kenpachi on this and see how right he is. Ichigo remembers all the really bad fights he had in this arc and is like emotionally motivated, or so we're told.
He flashes back to a flower being put in fucking Rukia that he wasn't there for.
Yeah. I'm just tired of seeing that. We're seeing that more than when he first became a Soul Reaper.
Then Karya asks the deepest shit in the world. He goes, if I killed you with your own blade, wouldn't that be fucked up?
He crawls.
He says that. What if I grabbed your sword and then killed you with it? It would be quite ironic. And my whole brain goes, your previous bout killed themselves with their own doll last episode.
Yeah, it was ironic.
It was fun. So he's like, I'm going to kill you with your own sword. That'll be epic. And Ichigo's like, I have a plan, and stabs himself with it. So we get a really fucking stupid scene where Ichigo's talking to Zangetsu. And is like, yes. I've been relying too much on this Bankai I haven't used once except for the time where I fought Byakuya.
You used it one time.
They describe Bankai as the state of extreme readiness that involves both blade and pain, which is up there for the poorly translated line of the year.
Yeah.
This was like the sixth or seventh time Bob Quietly went, what?
Yeah, this episode really
this
goes
one
for
episode.
It. Yeah, this episode's really knocking it out of the park because, you know, we open with the shot of, we tried to hide, but we couldn't because when I get mad, I summon a rock monster.
This is the dumbest episode in the entire show so far.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
I write, this is excruciating. Just use the Bankai already. Yeah. So he does. Ichigo's theme starts and he's like, okay, I'll fucking use the Bankai. Fucking finally. They start to fight again and are basically just teleporting around and taking pot shots at each other.
Yeah.
Then Yoruichi's just fucking here? From fucking where?
Yeah. I thought she was in Soul Society or something, but no, she's just here.
Like she's just fucking here with Shuhei, and they're running towards the fight, I guess. We get like the full reveal of Ishida in a truly hideous new jacket.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
that thing was terrible. This is when I was like, maybe we should have a worst dressed category.
He wins it. I mean, look at him.
This
Jesus.
Time it knocks it out of the park.
I don't think he will ever wear a costume this bad again.
Yeah, I know. Kubo would have never drawn this.
Yeah, not a chance.
Yoruichi showing up here. Like, by just having her model just be drag and dropped in like a Photoshop file, was really the moment I went, oh my god, they really make her the checkpoint plot character, where this is like the third time she's shown up because the plot needs to move. And if she's not there, that means the plot will not be moving.
She's they're just really poorly emulating the Soul Society arc, so they're like, well, Yoruichi drove most of that by giving people power-ups and shit, so I guess we have to do it again.
Yoruichi shows up and gets all the kids into the bus before we go on to the next plot line.
Yeah, I know. Yes. That's literally what it has been the last couple of times. She's like, I'm here.
We need to rewrite the entire plot of the franchise.
And then the one guy who isn't drunk at the studio goes, again?
You know, I really can't wait 7 episodes from now when Bounce reveal their true plan. It's gonna be quite good.
But Ishida has his powers back from the magic thing Nemu gave him. We flash back to Nemu giving it to him again.
Mm-hmm.
The Bounce start to open the gate, and Ishida aims at Karya like he's gonna shoot at Karya, but then shoots at the gate, and everybody's like, oh yeah, Ishida owned the shit out of that gate and ruined their plans. But the arrow actually opens the gate. They explain with like spiritual techno babble about how they needed a Quincy to open the gate.
Yes. Are you telling me that Uryu, who was important and then wasn't important, was important?
Whoa.
When they go, well, clearly we needed you initially so that you could shoot an arrow into a gate later. But it turns out you didn't have power, so we abandoned you. But me killing your mommy girlfriend made you want to go get power and shoot the arrow now.
It's going to get much stupider. Ishida opens the gate, and he's like, we'll settle this in Soul Society. And I'm like, oh my god, he reached the conclusion that if nobody competent would come fight the Bount, then he'd take the Bount to the people who were competent.
Yes.
You know, if Ishida's playing with that, I could respect it. But no, Ishida wants to go there because he'll be stronger there. That's it.
Yeah. He almost literally says, only reason I got you closer to your goal is so I could kill you closer to your goal.
Yeah, it's really dire.
Yeah, he's like, Ishida's like, we'll settle things personally in Soul Society. And now we have to do the Bleach premonition. There's going to be two in this episode. Two Bleach premonitions.
Oh no.
Will Ishida get anything with Karia?
No.
No.
I will even take, like, he shoots Karia while Karia is trying to kill Ichigo and that distraction lets Ichigo win. Will we even get something like that?
No.
No. I believe Ishida could get another bout, but he will not touch Karia at all.
No, he will not get Karia.
That is also my opinion. He's gonna get fuck all.
Yeah. If you chose Karia, so unfortunately, it's like no. Ichigo rivalry now.
If you're writing anything like a shonen anime, do not give somebody who isn't the protagonist personal beef with the main antagonist of the arc. You know it's not going to come to anything.
Yeah, you should have made Udi really hate Oldman.
Yeah, or Koga. I feel like he might get that, but no one's going to believe that Ishida's going to fight the main villain, yeah.
Yeah. His plan of just, if I'm in Soul Society, I can absorb all the Reishi to make my bolts more powerful.
And then immediately Ryuichi's like, you know, the bounce also do that.
The bounce also do that, so yeah, it literally equals out
to nothing. And then we get a really stupid thing where it's like, We would have struggled to beat Karia here, and I'm like, in 10 seconds, everybody would have shown up. Like even if Ichigo and Ishida together couldn't beat Karia, Yoruichi would be there.
I don't even know what that means, because as soon as Ichigo goes Bankai, it felt like a Dragon Ball Z movie, where suddenly he was hyper-competent, and there was no general advantage either way.
Yeah, so it just... Yoruichi's like Ishida, this plan is fucking stupid. They're also going to get stronger, and this might cause the end of the world.
Yeah.
And Ichigo dissolves all the tension by punching Ishida in the back of the head and being like, good job, moron. Let's go kill the bount.
Okay.
They babble for a while, and then all the other Soul Reapers show up. Rangiku pulls a cell phone out of her tits to report back to Soul Society.
And they do it off camera.
Kone is like, I'm not going to go, and then remembers he'd have to hang out with the Karakura superheroes characters, and like, actually, I am coming.
I don't want to be trapped in filler.
Filler upon filler awaits.
They're going back to Soul Society. Woohoo! The bount arrive at Soul Society, and we get a sort of cool shot of Karia's cut on his face healing and like turning into blue triangles and erasing itself.
I just love the fact they're flying around Soul Society like DBZ villains.
Well, yeah. They're doing that entry thing like they did when when Ichigo and them entered to the Tsurite with the fireworks.
But it's the
for
part,
some reason it's just now.
but the part that really gets me is how Koga and shit are just A posing.
Yes. Yeah. Whether or not Bleach characters can fly is really inconsistent in general. Yeah. So I'm not going to get on them on that.
When we're in filler, it's just like even more. What's happening?
Whatever.
Yeah, I think there's a weird thing where it's like in the human world they can fly, but in Soul Society they can't. I'm not sure though.
Oh, that'll be fun to try to keep track of mentally.
Please.
Illustrated Guide to Soul Reapers.
Golden.
Hitsuge is doing paperwork. We get the phone call that we didn't get to hear in the actual scene. She's like, we fucked up and we're coming back. Don't use your new teacup because I think I broke it. And then it explodes and drenches all his paperwork. The end.
That's pretty good.
That was a bad crack. Like, Jesus. It was ridiculous.
She's like, by the way, don't use it. I think I bisected it.
Yes.
Like, you did what?
Now, Phil, you've never seen this filler, right?
No.
Okay, so this was a real fun experience for me, having seen it years ago the whole way, where my memory of it was nothing important is going to happen until they get here. So the fact that it took us so long to get here was agonizing. I'm like, why are we still not in the Soul Society yet? What do you mean?
Yeah, these are considered two separate seasons, by the way. This episode I just finished recapping is considered the end of a season.
Yes.
Yes.
Now we're in the Bound Infiltrating Soul Society arc or something.
Yes, we are.
Yes.
I started having Vietnam-style flashbacks of watching this as it premiered in Japan.
Yeah, I was like, what was it? You can't let Dan know that the Bound is actually a two-part arc.
Bob, you were talking about, even the Japanese viewers were confused when this started coming out.
Yeah, no, I was just going over me and my brother were talking about, but this isn't what's in the manga. What's happening?
This is the manga. It's filler.
Yeah, then it kept going. We're like, well, surely they're going to wrap this. What do you mean they're going to the Soul Society?
I can't believe they came up with something dumber than the part in Yu-Gi-Oh! Where they're on a blimp and somehow end up in the virtual world.
I was going to use this as like a fact, but KZ just said it in our Discord, so I'm just going to say it here just to address it. The Bount arc is so universally reviled that it is the only piece of Bleach thing that isn't referenced in anything like the mobile game, which covers all the filler shit and has filler characters, like the video games. The Bounts get fucking nothing.
Yeah, they look like shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is... One, someone just replied to my tweet promoting the last Chugging Bleach with that, which was like a punch to the nose.
Yeah.
And two, if you're making a gacha game on an IP and you don't use something from an arc, that says volumes.
We're just going to make more alternate versions of existing characters because fuck this.
Yeah, that's the thing. Kubo designs insane amounts of characters he doesn't use enough. Why use this trash?
He designed Jean. He didn't design any of the others. He designed Karia. He didn't design any of the others.
That's... Wow.
Did he design that outfit, too?
It's a really shitty jacket.
It is really bad. I can kind of get into the awful two-tone shirt. I get that, but that jacket's really bad.
Yeah, the two-tone shirt, I could maybe be like, okay.
Yeah, all you need to do to understand the two-tone shirt is just travel back to 1990.
Yeah.
That's not...
He's dressed like the fucking Nutty Professor.
Welcome to the Clumps arc.
Episode 92. Episode 92.
If it's a Clumps arc, does Eddie Murphy voice everyone?
Yes.
92.
Yeah.
92. We open with a captain's meeting. Yamamoto's like, we're on high alert. Do this, this, and this. Hitsugaya, you're in charge because you're consistently the most popular Bleach character. I'm leaving now.
Yes.
The Bount land like fucking Saiyan pods and cause explosions and shit.
Yes.
Hitsugaya walks around with generic guys and is like, fucking go patrol, yada yada, alert level 2, none of this shit means anything, who cares? Karia and Koga stand around talking after landing. A bunch of jobbers show up to fight them, and I forget their names because they're not unworthy, but they're like losers that Chad and Ishida owned really hard.
Yeah, it's Sunglasses Man and Fat Dude who has a bowling ball shikai.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, who is like, I'm the ultimate fucking... ranged combatant, and then she just wrecks his shit with...
No, it's not that guy.
This
is Lieutenant of Soifon.
Yeah, this is the one where he summons a giant, like, spiked ball Ichigo punches him once right before the Byakuya fight when he takes out three vice captains in 20 seconds.
Yeah. So he's that guy. He's that level of owned.
Yeah, that other dude apparently just doesn't have powers anymore.
Oh, yeah, no, that guy's so owned we'll never see him again. He's erased from history.
To be fair, I also mistook this guy back in the day for the same person because they're way too similar.
Koga summons the stupid fucking spider centaur while Karia walks off screen to take another nap.
I think it's really funny these guys found them so quickly because they're not in Seirete. They are just in the outskirts, like the Rokan district.
Yeah.
Everybody's running around looking for them. They got put on super double plus good alert.
Yeah, that worked so well when they only had to do this for Seirete in the last arc. They found Ichigo and friends so quickly, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I mean, you know, and obviously the Bounce have a home turf advantage here.
Well, there was a giant explosion, so maybe they're like, there was a giant explosion. Let's go check that out.
Let's go check that out.
If I recall, Dan, Karya being off to the side is when you got this shot right here.
Yeah, no, I was waiting for a gap to post it and say, this is Karya waiting for his mom to show up and pick him up.
Yes. Yes.
Nobody knows I'm the leader of the Bounce.
The spider doll starts saying its fucking horrible lines. I'm not even going to, I didn't even transcribe them this time. It's just the same genre of, I'm a weird female who must be vaguely sexual.
I'm hexadecimal.
Koga starts absorbing reishi, which basically means he's sucking in like the buildings and fences.
Very cool.
The Shinigami, the Soul Reapers are like, you're a monster. And Koga's like, no, I'm a human. Just a strong human. The spider once again has a different power where it makes a gun that shoots ball bearings and just fucking rinses everybody. The dude that Ichigo knocked out in one punch, who's eating rice crackers, has a really horrible showing. He just starts pissing and shitting himself.
Yeah,
and crying and being like, someone please help me.
He doesn't even release his sword.
Yeah, it's really bad. It's how do you not even do that, man? Come on.
They're like, well, they did show it, but we don't know how it works. So,
so we can't even approach having him use it.
Yes.
Sunglasses guy doesn't do any better, but at least he doesn't fucking piss and cry and shit himself. Kari is like, you're a loser. And then reveals he has telekinesis now and lifts him up and yeets him through a house, which then falls on him.
This is another. And God, the writers were so dead during this part where he just went. He showed respect for Soul Reapers for some reason.
Yeah, don't worry about it. And then he's like, okay, Koga, let's go. And we get like Moe Blob Karya. Please click the first spoiler damage.
No, I knew this shop was fucked up when I saw it.
Yeah, I was like, I'm making the bet right now. That shot is them running up. And then it wasn't that. The later one is.
Hitsugeya shows up too late and finds everybody owned. Rangiku is behind him and shows up and is like, I'm sorry, boss, for not achieving anything. And he's like, you're a woman, so I didn't expect anything.
Yeah, I don't.
I think that it was more of, yeah, your bad actions reflect how bad I am.
Yeah, but it has this tone of like, yeah, you're a fucking woman in a shonen series. I didn't expect you to do anything. Ichigo and Rukia are standing in a field. Rukia is a Soul Reaper again, but she still doesn't have a sword.
Yeah.
Yorichi pops in from off screen and is like, why are you guys pontificating and just doing nothing? Leland also appears and scolds them for flirting, even though they really weren't. They were just kind of standing there.
And then we get this great picture of fucking Orihime's eyes.
Oh, no!
God. Oh, no.
Oh, God. looking cool, Orihime.
She had to look to the right in the next shot, and they were like, well, let's make her not look right at first, and they only did half her face, I think. I don't...
Rookie is like, if I close my eyes, she's not here.
Ashita also changed clothes.
Yes!
Yeah, so he's no longer in his goofy battle outfit. He's just in his t-shirt again.
It's very unclear how long later this is now. Because it just feels like they're all here somehow. And things have changed.
I want to hope that him activating his relic turns on the terrible outfit.
That's what it's going to be. But it's very strange.
Which is also like, but why? That the whole thing was he knitted his own outfits.
This filler doesn't care about anything good.
Anything. They're like, okay, we gotta find the fireworks lady, Kukaku.
Why? Who knows?
But she moved her house?
Well, this is a thing. She moves her house constantly. They talk about that in the last arc, so they need to deliver on that now.
Yeah.
They spend like 24 hours wandering around before they find it, because like the time of day changes and shit.
Yeah.
They find it, and it looks different, and Rukia is like, she has no aesthetic sense. And Ichigo's like, neither do you. So she just uppercuts him in the jaw.
Yeah,
very rude.
Somehow they lost Cone during this.
Good.
And they're like, well, Cone will be fine. He's full of energy. And then they hear Ganju yelling from the fireworks building, but we cut to Cone wandering around the hallways. Cone finds a crowd and it's like that fucking Simpsons bit where it's like, it's bringing love, kill it. And everybody just immediately forms a mob to kill him.
Yes.
And he just runs away screaming, haven't you ever seen a stuffed animal before? And it appears like in the air, like full of energy. We cut back to Kukaku abusing Ganju. She is really working him.
Ganju's like, already back here, which is funny. But
yeah, he just came back off screen. He's like, what the fuck did you get a job at a convenience store for? And then Ichigo's like, how do you know what a convenience store is? So she just starts wailing on him.
Yeah.
So we get a little bit where she's just beating the shit out of both of them. And then Yoruichi explains the conceit of this plot to Kukaku. And then Kukaku's like, well, I guess I should let you stay here for a while because it's Ganju's fault, the bounty here. And I'm like, that's fucked up. He killed more bounties than anybody but Renji.
Yeah.
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 They introduce the fucking mod souls to her. Yoruichi's like, we got to find Ran Tao, who is the lead researcher who created the bounce. He got kicked out 1,000 years ago, but still hangs around.
Yeah,
and I think it's right here that they say, no, they don't say that till later. So, okay, that's not till later.
Yeah.
This is insane. Yeah. that name is so bad. They're like, yeah, this was the research institute before the research institute.
I think it's next episode that they say that part because they're rewriting.
Yeah, don't.
Every
yeah, there's
part.
Another.
There's three there's episodes
a,
in a row.
Yeah. That, oh, yeah. God.
Yeah. This is the time we at least get his name that Kubo would never make.
Yes.
Ran Tao is a terrible name.
Here's the most fucking horrible part of this to me. They explain that everything that happened in the last 25 episodes, well, 27 now, or 28, was a ruse.
Yeah.
And that Karia set up Ishida getting attached to the mommy bount, set up her getting killed, set up fucking Mayuri sending him the artifact to give him his powers back.
Uh-huh.
And I can't even be mad at this because Kubo writes shit like this all the time.
Yeah, but I'm entertained when he does that.
I feel like there's some level of believability with Aizen's plan. There's none with Kiarius. Because it seems like random happenstance has got all of this together.
It's a hypnosis sword.
The conceit seems to be Ichinose snuck in and locked files on Mayuri's computer.
Yeah.
Mayuri was like, who the fuck did this? I'm going to unlock them. Unlocked them and then found out about the bount when he never would have even looked at that data before because he doesn't give a shit.
Right.
So he's like, the bounts seem interesting. I'd like to dissect one. So he works out their plan and then sends Nimmu to give Ishida the key to the plan. So everybody was manipulated. It's really stupid.
If it works and they get here, Mayuri is just going to capture them immediately and dissect them. That's the end goal of Karia, right?
Yeah.
This entirely hinges upon the fact that they can get strong enough to not job to the remaining captains.
It's a really good plan.
It's a real double or nothing here.
Yeah. Yoruichi's like, I don't want to go back to Soul Society because I quit, so I'm going to stay here in the fireworks shop. We cut to the morning. Everybody talks about their plan. Ruki is going to go report to her squad and is like, sorry, Ichigo, I have to leave. Leland says they're flirting again and gets mad and runs off because for some reason she now really wants Ichigo's cock.
It's a weird development, yeah.
This is when we have the tub sub divide. In the dub, Ichigo goes, she's such a pain, but I need her. And Ruki goes, yes, you do. I'm like,
And the sub says nothing related to that.
Not
at
even
all.
Close.
Yeah.
Not even fucking similar. There's no point in comparison. It's just a different line.
Ishida just wanders off again because that's all he's fucking done this arc. Why would it change?
Right.
Yeah, it's like you're now powerful, but also we need to split up still.
We pair up Orihime and Kurodo again because God, why? Ugh.
It's the bag. She likes the bag.
Ruki is walking through the Rukan district and is like, being like, man, it's still so dirty and shitty. Leland is off coping and seething and is like, I don't even know why I'm coping and seething, which makes me cope and seethe even harder. And then she senses the Bount and hides. And then Lady Bount, who I need to point this out.
Mm-hmm.
If at any point in the past 10 episodes they had said this bitch's name, I would switch to it.
Oh, yeah. No, it's a real fucking problem. I have been writing mommy. What was it? No mommy powers bounce so many times. Now it's Bounce Sans Mommy because they didn't fucking name her.
Yeah, I just write girl bounce.
Bounce Sans Mommy?
Yes. How do you write this back?
Every other bout, I eventually picked up their name.
Yeah, because they say
or
the
most
name.
Of them anyway.
They fucking say Ugaki a couple of times.
And most of them get episodes like Koga. They get development at all. Even the grandpa got more on-screen important time, I feel.
It did.
Yeah, she got fuck all.
Yeah, she had a moment where she was attempting to fight, and then a crackhead showed up and made her stop.
Yeah, she should have been hanging out in that alley, though. The crackheads are in there all the time.
This had another dub-sub divide, and in the subs, Rukia goes and, you know, the Bounce Sans Mommy comes out of the smoke, and she goes, you. And then the dub, Rukia goes, this is impossible. It can't be. Like, what do you mean?
What do you mean?
What do you mean? Well, You're looking for that.
Look,
yeah, right?
Sometimes you have to make the lip flaps match.
I'm pretty sure her mouth wasn't even on screen and we were just looking at her coming out of the smoke.
Illustrated Guide to Soul Reapers.
Golden.
Renji shows up at Urahara's shop. Just check on the kid who got honed. Hanataro's like, oh, he's fine. Renji's like, oh, good. And Hanataro's like, it's really nice of you to come to check on him. And Renji's like, well, I also came because I have to clean the store before I leave.
So
then he like puts on an apron and starts sweeping.
So he was in that cave.
Yeah.
And everyone else got to go through the portal. They're like, no, Renji. No.
No.
He had to walk all the way out of this cave, most of which has collapsed from the fights. To walk all the way back.
It was really hard. It's really hard. He actually had to dig.
This is a good time for me to post these images I'm late on posting.
Oh no.
Yeah.
That Ichigo face is so much.
I'm like, well, these still look better than the last set of episodes we watched.
The fucking Bob Epic team down here.
Episode 93.
All right.
Probably golden.
Lady Bount goes for Rukia's throat immediately and is like, she basically calls Rukia a sword cuck. And then Rukia is like, oh, she's so much stronger than before, even though all she did was throw a kick and we can't even claim I sense their power because I can't do that.
Yep.
She brings up how Rukia got brainwashed and owned, and we get an extended flashback of her being brainwashed of that stupid fucking flower bout fight. She gets like all of a sudden her character is now like, it feels like they mixed up her character with the crackhead bout, and so she is now a sexual predator.
Yeah, I don't.
And she's like, oh, you're turning me on. I'm getting excited about how I'm going to kill you. Rukia pulls a shitty sword out of the wall and is going to fight. She summons her doll and they complain about being summoned and the fan is like, don't interrupt my tea time. And the sword says, don't call me when my mustache is so thick.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a weird line.
It is weird.
Yeah.
Leland is watching and she gets a really long winded and meandering internal monologue about how boned Rukia is. And it reminds me of like Stinko Man.
It's been so long.
Yeah. Yeah, I see that.
They start to fight. They're just clashing a little bit. Rukia gets judo thrown through a wall. Leland panics and does her little shtick where she like runs back and forth and waves her arm. Rukia gets really pissed and is like, I'm going to own the shit out of you, even though I'm getting my ass kicked pretty hard. And Lady Bount just basically calls her useless and weak. Then Leland runs in for the assist and throws a Hadouken made of illusion powers at the Lady Bout, who starts tripping ball.
Yes.
It's the highlight of these five episodes.
Yeah.
She just
it's right up there with Koga speaking German.
Leland's like, Rukia, fucking attack her already. I can't do this forever. So Rukia decides to chant a Hado instead of just cutting her head off.
Yeah, it was really weird. Rukia then just severed her head slowly.
Luckily, this attack, for some reason, this Hato was super fucking powerful and nuked her shit.
Yeah.
And she collapses to the ground, scorched. Sadly, because this plot is very cruel and demoralizing, she just absorbs a bunch of Reishi, and it's like using an elixir in Final Fantasy, like all her shit goes back to maximum. Rukia and Leland are confused about this, even though they literally had a conversation about the bounce being able to do this.
Yeah.
This really got me, because when Bounce Sand's mommy gets up, you hear multiple bones reset, and I'm like, did this thing shatter her entire internal system?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty strong, so Rukia, I guess she was holding back on Earth.
Yeah, now she has all the power of the Soul Society.
Yeah, she's got all that energy.
So they fight and fight and fight, and Rukia gets kicked through an entire building.
Yeah.
And has to hide. But she gives herself away really easily. Like, she doesn't try to attack. She just fucks up and makes a noise, except it's an illusion. And Lady Bount just, like, turns to Leland and is like, okay, I'm going to kill you. And Leland's like, oh, no, please don't kill me. And Leland's like, and the Lady Bount's like, what else am I going to do? You were fucking with me. Of course, I'm going to kill you. Luckily, real Rukia throws a burlap sack over her head and then uses Byakuya's railgun Hato on her and blows a hole through her chest.
It's like when they realized, okay, the bounce can instantly heal. We're just going to glass these guys multiple times. Like it's a cartoon. Yes.
Anyone else remember that episode he's flashing back to where Rukia is possessed?
Mm.
Yeah, and she has a sword in her Soul Reaper form.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, the doll was giving her more power so she could have a sword again.
Yeah.
Okay. Sure. Sure.
Yeah.
Lady Bount just heals again and stands up, and they once again seem surprised that she just healed from this. And Leland mentally is like, come on, Ichigo, show up and save both of us. And I'm like, this is pathetic.
Yep.
We cut to the captain's meeting, and it's time for another fucking lore dump.
We're just gonna use some whiteout and write new lines over the old ones.
Yamamoto gives an info dump with all the stuff he got from Byakuya's family history books. 1,000 years ago, Ran Tao, who was known as, quotations, the evil researcher.
That is what a historical record would do.
Yes. Did some fucked up shit trying to discover eternal life, and a bunch of souls turn into bounce. Rantau was banished and the bounce were purged. Soul Society sure does love doing genocide.
And then this is when we really get in the weeds of one episode. They said he was a member of the research and development part. Now they're saying, as of this, that this was all before the research and development part existed.
This is before research and development existed. The flashback shows the same outfits.
I know!
It's so dire. Hey. But they realize they cannot write bad. The guy who actually makes the research and development is a real character in Bleach. So we can't write about that. Absolutely can never do that. We probably can't even have Miyuri do it. We can't do anything.
This is like some bullshit, like Final Fantasy X shit, where everyone wears the same outfits, but they call them New Yevon. It's basically the same thing, but it's got a different name. So clearly, you can't relate these at all.
Oh my god, this goes all the way to the top, looks off screen. Okay, kind of part of the way to the top.
There's like a branch?
Some guy who was there at the time? Can we do that? Okay, there we go.
The captains bicker a little bit, and it's like that scene where the guys in the Nazi uniforms are like, are we the baddies?
Yes, it's the White Kids You Know sketch.
and which is concluded by Yamamoto basically going, it doesn't matter whether or not we're the baddies, we have to kill them anyway. And then a messenger runs in and is like, we sensed a bount and Rukia fighting. And the troops get deployed, including Ukitake's suck-ups, who slowly load in as they run like an Unreal 3 asset.
Yes.
Yeah, that was insane.
Which I put as the other three spoilered images.
Yeah, it's really good. We hit that and we all lost it because it looks that good.
It goes for so long. It's hilarious.
Bob, I'm looking at the third one. They both have six fingers on one hand.
One, two, three, four, five.
They have 5 fingers and a thumb.
5 fingers and a fucking thumb.
Both of them.
I don't think that's supposed to be an additional finger on him, at least. I think it's supposed to be his palm.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to be most of their palm, but definitely it's drawn in a way that looks like six fingers.
That is not drawn right at all.
On her, it's another finger, pretty much. On him, I can buy it being the palm.
We skipped over a really important line.
Okay.
Did we?
Bout waves.
Yeah!
Oh my god, the bout waves.
Lost it. And I was like, oh my god, it's like Blutz waves.
It's Dragon Ball GT's Blutz waves.
Do bout waves reflect off the moon?
There's so much more arc to do, Dan.
We cannot sense bounce, but the bounce have bout waves we can detect, I guess.
If Karya becomes a giant white gorilla.
What the fuck are bouts? Who are these guys? We don't even know. Anyways, we picked up on their waves.
We have a way of detecting it.
There will be a new bout related technology or thing every set.
Now, I haven't seen Ruby. Ruby isn't this stupid, right?
No.
I would say, from what I've watched of Ruby, I would say Ruby is one step above this set of episodes.
That's too close.
That is too close.
You should not stand that close. It gets warm. You can feel it on your face, the heat.
Oh, it's wafting.
Orihime runs up to Ichigo and is like, Ichigo, Ruki is fighting a bound over here. We got to go.
This is all like that scene in Matrix 1 where like, oh man, Neo and Morpheus are fighting.
Morpheus fight Neo and they all scramble.
Yes.
Rukia is now running from the bout and having to take pot shots at her because she's out of mana. She tries to fight hand to hand and does okay, but still gets her shit wrecked. Then in a really stunning displays of competence from Rukia in this episode, she's like, well, you can heal, so I guess I'll use that immobilizing spell I used on Ichigo in the first episode.
Yeah, it's weird. They start remembering things. Like, they wake up for a second here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have a theory, and I haven't checked if the timeline for this matches up yet. I'm wondering if these last 15-ish episodes have been so bad because all the competent people were making the first Bleach movie.
Well, the first Bleach movie released is at the end of this arc.
So, yes.
It's basically instantly.
So yes, I'm correct.
So yes, that's how the anime industry works, where popular shonen's running and suddenly looks worse, but a movie's coming out.
Yeah, that I was like, this happened when every time Yu-Gi-Oh ever got a movie, the show just became bad for 4 months.
Yeah.
Now that she's immobilized, Rukia blows her up again, but she's now predicted by her doll's new dumb form, which is just a Shikai, like. We're going to go into Bounce Shikai now because they don't know how to continue doing the stupid stand shit.
Whatever. It activated neurons when I went, okay, the bounce can get something, like, visually that makes me go, oh, now I wonder what old man will do.
Rukia runs, but she leaves a trail of blood because her arm's all cut, and Lady Bounce doesn't pursue her, but just cackles endlessly.
Yeah, because at this point, she's become a horror movie monster for some reason.
This whole episode,
she has.
Fucked up.
Rukia bandages her hurt arm and is like crying in a barn, and Leland brings Rukia that bum sword she had. Rukia's like, I'm out of power and can't heal myself, and then finds a child hiding in the barn, who is holding an infant, so she now has to protect this dumb child.
Yep.
Lady Bounce slasher movie stabs through the wall and like runs her sword through it and then grabs Rukia and throws her through another wall so hard that Rukia gets tuberculosis and just starts coughing up blood. And then Rukia is scrambling to her feet and Lady Bounce like throw that sword away and give up or I'm gonna kill this kid. And she's like palming their head like a melon.
Yeah, it's really funny.
Now, she, like, pokes Rukia's chest, and Rukia recoils and calls her a monster, and she's like, oh, you shouldn't do that. What if I kill this kid? And I think it's supposed to come off like her wanting Rukia to stand there and let herself be, like, gouged with the blade.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, it just comes off like she's trying to push her Hakama inside and comes off really rapey. It doesn't sell itself as torture a lot. At all. It like just comes off as weird sexual predation. It's bad.
Yeah, it's weird. Also, this seems unnecessary. Like, you're already so much more powerful than Rukia, but you also need the hostage to do this rape thing?
Yeah.
What's happening?
Yeah,
she just starts fucking brutalizing Rukia. Like, she's slashing the shit out of her. She's kicking the shit out of her. I'm genuinely like, so in Dragon Ball, in the 45 minutes that Videl is getting the shit beaten out of her by that one god dude?
Yes, Bobovich, raw.
That was all added for the anime? Why does filler always brutalize women?
We'll never be able to figure it out.
And then Leland tries to stop her, but gets kicked away, and Leland goes, Ichigo, as she passes out. Then Byakuya shows up and just looks at Lady Bound, and she explodes. Ichigo and Orihime then also show up. Lady Bout survived by calling her armor again, and I'm disappointed because I'm like, no, that should have been the end of you. Byakuya should have just nuked you from orbit, and that's the end.
Yeah, I really hope the next episode we do just see, oh, he's going to immediately erase you again.
Yeah, I would like to see another Bout die before the halfway through the episode fucking eye catch.
She's like, I did my job, and leaves. And implies this was a plan to draw people away from the main castle thing because there's now explosions on it and it's being attacked. I normally don't talk about the episode previews, but in this one, the mod souls talk about how Byakuya showed up when he did for dramatic effect because he's so cool and suave. And I'm like, Rukia got her shit annihilated before he showed up. I really hope that he didn't do that deliberately or he is an asshole.
he could be Goku. No, I'm not coming out until you all have dead.
Yeah.
Illustrated Guide to Soul Reapers.
Golden.
Kyoraku and Kenpachi's guys are drinking together and watching the moon and having a good time. Except the moon isn't the moon. It's Ikkaku's bald head and everybody laughs at him.
They laugh now, but wait until they see his shot in the intro.
Oh, yeah.
It is strong.
Mm-hmm. Those were our fucking episodes.
They're we not did ours. We I made take it. No ownership over these Bound episodes.
Oh, thank you so much, Phil, for running us through that nightmare. Now we have to go to our segments.
Sure.
And we get to start with my favorite, as always, the best dressed segment. I'll let Phil lead it off.
Oh, no. I'll go with the Lady Bounce bad armor because at least it made my brain set off.
There you go.
Understandable.
Scrape. KZ, what do you got?
All right, I had this set up from the start. The start of episode 93, Ikkaku is showing off his drip with his two jack-off crystal necklaces. He looks super cool.
He is very cool.
In that photo, he ascends to be the patron saint of fuckboys everywhere.
Yes.
I'll take the next one. I'm going to give it to Nanao in her Chinese dragon dress. I thought that was actually really cool looking.
Cool.
Very nice. You, Dan?
I'm really fucking torn, so I'm going to do two.
Okay.
But first, I'm going to say, there's an adorable pic in the intro of Karin and Yuzu wearing the cutest outfits ever on a snow sled.
Yes.
That is worth noting because it really feels like if you took the bunny earmuffs off, they wouldn't make this list. But those are incredible.
Yes.
And the best.
And there was like some type of bear or animal mitts they were wearing too.
Yes. It was an adorable picture. That was the opening to episode 92.
Mm-hmm.
When they change this intro and we no longer get these, I will experience brain death.
Yeah, it's going to be hard.
Which will be next set.
God. But really, since that's adorable, and I think we go for drip in this category, I'm going to give it to Joker wearing the jacket at the train station in the opening of 91 because I lost
it. Yeah, he looks so different.
Yes.
That we'd all had trouble recognizing him.
I was like, that's not him, is it?
And I'm like, that's him with this eye color that definitely doesn't change constantly.
Such a good shot. I was floored. I was like,
clearly this guy wins for maximum drip. And then Ikako shows up and is like, yeah, I listen to ICP and drink the moon mist. You want to fuck?
I miss him so much. Also, that god, that Byakuya fucking dating sim outfit was still ridiculous.
Yeah, I thought that was gonna take it this set of episodes, but then
yeah, they couldn't step to the Gins.
No.
Or Ikaku's, honestly. Ikaku in his Eminem cosplay.
Yeah, I know, I couldn't handle it. It's great. He opens that intro, and then the outro is just, haha, you're bald ratio.
It's real weird.
So, Dan, now that we've started the second Bound arc, how excited are you to continue watching Bleach on a scale of 1 to 10?
1.
Oh, no. I thought we might go up a little bit.
Bout 2.
Yeah, they go Bout 2.
They might start dying soon.
Here's the thing, okay? Okay,
sure.
Hear me out.
Okay.
Because it makes a lot of sense.
Okay.
If I didn't experience them rewriting the bad guy 3 times in the last 3 episodes, I would be more excited, but I'm not really excited to keep track of them retroactively changing what happened.
I love that in the last set of episodes, we have the mystery of who's sneaking into Soul Society. In this set, they just know. Like, yeah. Yoriichi just already knows.
Yeah, that was intense. Oh, man.
It's okay, Dan. Maybe next set they will rewrite Karya's plan again, and you'll think it's a really good plan on that one. You'll be really excited for the set afterward.
Maybe by the end of the next set, the number will go up from 1. But currently, no, I'm not a fan of them constantly rewriting. However, horror movie monster no mommy powers was really good.
Yeah, that was surprising, right?
The highlight of these episodes, I am really sure.
Sophia, did you bring me a piece of trivia? I know that you said you had a spoiled piece of trivia.
Yes, I did.
Oh.
Yeah, yes, I do have a piece of trivia.
Ooh.
The lady bounce name is Yoshi. Is that true or false?
Oh, no! That whole time we're like, we don't know who her name is, and it feels like I got this.
who's supposed to go first?
Bob, you can go first.
Sure, I'm gonna say no. I'm gonna say you're bluffing. She doesn't have a name.
Dan,
I'm gonna say yes because that's a bad name.
KZ,
I think that one of them was called Oshino that died, so I have to say no. Seems too close.
The answer is, her name is fucking Yoshi.
No!
Bravo!
I like it. It was like, no, that can't be it. It's too similar to this one. Meanwhile, I'm over here, and I'm like, it's so bad. Yes.
What are you
She doesn't even get a surname.
Are you fucking...
I figured that she'd have a Chinese name or something because they gave her like the more Chinese inspired outfit.
Yeah.
And the sword and fan.
Uh-huh. He only has one name.
Oh, man. This
fucking
is
fucking Gene Karya, the real Chad.
And now we all feel better, right?
Yeah
I do.
We keep calling
actually.
Her Bounce Sans Mommy.
Yoshi, really up there with Ran Tao.
Okay. Now we have to do that part where we rate these on our tightness scale to figure out how tight they were.
Yeah.
Bob, what is the tightness scale again?
It goes 0 to 25, so you have the full range to let us know exactly how tight it is.
Yeah, together, we could make a 100.
We could.
Or we could make a 0.
All right. Dan, what do you think?
Oh, I'm doing spreadsheet stuff. Okay. You should ask someone else.
KZ. How was this? How tight was this?
This is easily the dumbest set of episodes in the entire arc so far. They rewrote things like 2 or 3 times. They did weird shit with that cave. However, they did numerous progressive things. They progressed the arc into a new arc. A Bount died and all this stuff. I had a great time. This was terrible, but I enjoyed this more than any other one of these fillers so far. You know what? Fuck it. I'll match the first time the Bount showed up. I'll give it a 12.
Okay. I guess I'll go ahead and go.
Sure.
This is a little better than the last few sets. I'll give it an 8.
Ooh.
It's hardly discernible as better. But there are points I enjoyed it, like her getting the new armor, because that was anything.
And Koga speaking German.
And also the point where she got burnt to a crisp.
Oh, yeah. Or got a hole blown through her chest.
Feel, how tight was this?
Things happened. It didn't look egregiously terrible at all times, like the last two sets of episodes.
Yeah.
A character died. There was so much more for my brain to cling to in this, so I'm gonna give it a 10.
Nice.
Yeah. You're like me, you're matching what you thought from the first proper bounce set.
Okay, Dan, you can finish this out.
So I'm giving this a 4.
Ooh. That's a big buff over your ones.
It definitely
is. We did two sets of episodes in a row that were ones for me. Here's why this got a 4. We're no longer in a cave. Someone died. And that lady, though she, as far as we know from the actual anime, has no name, became an axe murderer. And that fired some neurons, and it was pretty fun. It was insane, and it doesn't make sense for her to do, but at least it was really neat.
I think you're right. It's nice to be free from that really dumb cave that looked terrible.
Yeah, that cave looked awful.
And the last episode of this set managed to raise to the level of bad episode of Dragon Ball Super.
Impressive.
Impressive.
It is now on the same level as the Tournament of Power episode where Tien does nothing and cries.
Yeah, I feel like something that would really have helped this for me and definitely would have brought that number up is if they didn't rewrite the villain 3 times across 3 episodes.
Yeah, that same for me. It would probably get it up to a 10 or 11 if it didn't have that.
Yeah, if I didn't have this doom and gloom about you still have no idea what you're going to write, do you?
It could be anything. I have to stay on the move so you never catch me.
Also, if the fight and everything surrounding it weren't so bad, if we didn't have, what is it, a total of 4 or 3 episodes building up Ugaki, I feel like him being in a closet in a rock wall pissing his pants would have really brought this number up, right? But we spent too long on Ugaki. He sucks.
My take on that is like, you know when a really horrible person who's like a war criminal will like die and somebody will be like, well, yeah, but he was like 85 and surrounded by all his friends and family. And I'm like, I'm still happy he's gone.
Yeah. It has that
which
vibe.
Is how I feel about Ugaki.
The Ugaki moment would have been so much better if his own stand didn't kill him. If we had Renji just go over there and kill him.
Yeah,
that would have been a big W in my book.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah, I would have easily given it another couple of points of just like oh, a character did it instead of, I don't know, my doll took enough damage that it made it crazy.
Yeah, it's like if the wall had opened up and he immediately got sniped by Yumichika or something.
Oh, that would have been that would have raised it even more. It's like Yumichika got a kill. You know what? Sure, man. Sure. I'm so proud. I'm so proud of us. This is apparently the second best set of episodes since the Bount arc began, only beaten out by the Bounts being introduced.
Wow.
It's still over 10 points lower than when we watched 2 OVAs where one of them was a recap of the first few episodes.
Yeah, those are way better. Jesus. Come on.
I was telling Dan, I'm like, I miss a guy who was sword.
Yeah.
But yeah, that put us at 34 for our combined scores this week.
Whew. Out of 100.
But yeah. That's way up from 13.
Yeah, I know. That's way over double.
So that's great. I'm glad that we're moving through the Bount arc. It will one day end.
Yeah, that part feels good.
Yeah, it feels like you're chipping away and you're like, oh man, there's like a hollow part here. I can break through this part.
Thank you so much for joining us for this month's Chugging Bleach. Bye.
Thanks for listening. Shows like Mondo Cool and Chugging Bleach are only possible thanks to our wonderful supporters over on Patreon. If you head on over to patreon.com/gbpodcasts and pledge at the $5 or above level, you not only get early access to Chugging Bleach and Mondo Cool before they're released to the public, but you'll also gain access to exclusive shows like Armchair Devs Extra and cursed content by committee. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you guys next time.